those who are optimistic now and for the future. Just 15% now, and for the year. Now, by the way, this is up a little bit on the quarter, but this is the year for the average. 66% being pessimistic now and for the future is a record high in the 17 years we've been doing this. So we've never found people more depressed.
Some voice from CNBC talking about that polling data. The number that right out of the chute, only 15%, roughly one in seven-ish Americans optimistic about the near future. My goodness. Where's your Christmas spirit, people? Where's your Christmas charity toward that failure? Joe Biden, just give him a few more points, will you? Welcome to the Dana Show. I'm Sergio Sanchez. Merry Christmas, my friend. Reporting to you today from what I refer to as the Dana Show Southern Command in the Rio Grande Valley of Texas, where the smart money is. A lot of investors, a lot of businesses. I'll give you one example. Elon Musk. Yeah, he discovered this area. Plopped his big old SpaceX thing down here. About 1 million square feet of production coming up pretty soon. More launch pad. Yeah, it's happening. It's the real South Texas. Deep South Texas. RGV of Texas. McAllen. Yeah, you hear it on the news. All these negative headlines are now. We're fine. We're in the land of 911. We're in blessed soil. We're in Texas. We're in the U.S. McAllen. Brownsville, Mission, Harlan, just a cluster of little cities down here, 1.5 million people. I am so proud that this little affiliate, KURV, is able to talk to you today and say hello. You want to say hello back? My name is Sergio Sanchez, Sergio at KURV.com, at Sergio Talk on Twitter. So I want to focus on the failure of American media. And it was American media should always be free. I am a part, Dana, my friend, she's a part. Talk radio, local television, local newspaper, still printing out something, doing local stories. It should always, always be free. Always. But we're free to be as stupid as we can. We're free to be in this country as irresponsible as we can. That's the freedom of the press. Like, I know some of y'all want to put restrictions. I know that even, you know, my former president, Donald Trump, who I know, I am convinced beyond any doubt that Donald Trump will be president again. We will call him president-elect sometime early November next year. That's just me. I know some of y'all can't stand that. I still love y'all. I know we have differences within our conservative family on all this. He is who he is. He's not going away. He's not going anywhere, people. He's the greatest single-term president in our nation's history. This America First mindset revolutionized political speak and political thought in our nation. I know he's very populist. It goes against the grain of some of the more my libertarian-minded, my ideas of protection of liberty and purity of the Constitution and original intent by our founding fathers, the power of states, the non-involvement of our country in foreign affairs when it's not necessary, tariffs, all those things. We are so screwed up. We are so far removed from original intent. I mean, that's another conversation itself. But I want to focus on the failure of American media. And again, I will say to you, it should always, always be free. I don't want some goon. I don't want some regulator. I know some people on the left, they wish to regulate what any self-proclaiming, preaching conservative on the radio has to say. But you know what? There are some populists. And I know amongst some of y'all who are tuning in right now, and I love you for it, but please examine your defense of liberty. If in any way, if ever you felt that the government need to do something about Jim Acosta, fake news, CNN, about this clueless news network. Got to shut them down. Got to go after them. Got to prosecute them. Got to throw them in jail. No. You need to examine what liberty means. Understand it and then teach it to your children and practice it. In this country, we have a free press, and it is a free press that could be, it has been in the past, and can be part of the solution. Now, I'm not expecting the free press to come charging in to save the day for the sake of America, because they got their own agenda, and part of it is that they got their own pocketbook. Some of them serve a specific niche, like the very uber leftist, just crazy lunatics, the quasi-communist, neo-communists of the day. MSNBC, some of these online media products, Salon, all these folks that used to be in print or are now online. It's, you know, we've talked about before, New York Times, the disservice that has done through history, through American history, apologists for communists, and still to this day not apologizing for their advocacy and promotion of the Soviet state back in pre-World War II. All the apologies that they came in from overseas from their Moscow bureau. And then, of course, after the war, we discover the genocide, the mass murder, the starvation of people in Ukraine afterwards. You know, despite that, they're winning prizes. But it should always be free. We know we just need to properly identify who's on which team. And you should never, ever. I appreciate you tuning into the Dana Show. And tune in as often as you can, because I know I've learned through the years. I know some of y'all maybe can't stand Dana. I appreciate you listening anyway, coming in and tuning into the show. You check in to see what she says. That's a good thing. Don't get stuck on just watching the lunatic lefties on MSNBC. They just go absolutely nuts when they hear Donald Trump's voice, the mention of Donald Trump's voice. Joy Reid, for example. Donald Trump says something wrong. He's like, oh, here comes a Nazi. Here comes a racist. Here comes, the guy's going to take full control, never surrender again. Cut 12, Steve, how lunatic these people are. They just, like Nikki Haley said, these people are exhausting. Cut 12 and Joy Reid on
MSNBC.
But
we begin tonight with the phrase, poisoning the blood of our country. If it sounds like Nazi talk, it's because it is. In chapter 11 of Adolf Hitler's fascist manifesto, Mein Kampf, he writes, all great cultures of the past perished only because the originally creative race died out from blood poisoning.
Goodness. Oh, my goodness. And I mentioned this yesterday on the program. You know they were eventually going to pick it up. But I was kind of surprised that yesterday they didn't after Donald Trump. They just needed time to properly work through the channels of editing and eventually lift it to the crazies, the uber crazy lefties, the lunatics at MSNBC. Now, MSNBC has a right to exist, will always have a right to exist. The gang over at Fox, same thing. Talk radio, same thing. Leave it alone. Leave it free. Let it be. Don't shut it down. Don't cancel it. Let them be. I know they're crazy. We need to know what the lunatics are talking about. We need to know their line of thinking. Maybe, perhaps someday, suggest to them some mental counseling, some mental health counseling or therapy. You know, but they should volunteer for that if they recognize what the problem is. Yeah, as Donald Trump said, if in case you missed it, Donald Trump said that illegal immigration was poisoning the blood of our country and emissions. You know, what's the blood of commerce? It's fuel. It's diesel. What is the blood of our nation? It's the economy. When you water down the workforce, you start messing with the salary table. You put a lot of unskilled labor out there. You're messing up the workforce. You're messing up the economy. Liberty. We, American liberty, runs on capitalism, runs on the market. But, of course, Joy wouldn't understand that because she collects a pretty hefty paycheck. I don't know where her salary is, but, you know, I got the CNN salaries here in front of me. But, you know, she just gets a paycheck, just saying just stupid stuff. And she never has to worry about making payroll. Donald Trump did for many years, for many companies. He knows how America runs. And I hope and pray someday, soon, well, going to have to wait till, let's say, January 20th of 2025 for him to take over again and start righting a lot of wrongs, because a lot of people voted stupidly because they were afraid during COVID. I forgive you. But you got to vote right next time. The failure of American media. Don't count on one source of information to provide you the truth, the stats, the data that you need to be an informed voter in November of 2024. Because one source, or maybe a similar source, you might do MSNBC. You might jump over to the Clueless News Network with Jim Acosta and company. And you don't go to Fox. Oh, no, because Fox is the devil. Joe Biden told me Fox is the devil. I don't listen to the devil. Well, Fox ain't perfect. No one's perfect. But Fox tends to put into the mix a lot of pocketbook issues and health issues and look at the political world, the swamp that is Washington, D.C., from a different lens that you should expose yourself to. And again, I appreciate you listening to the Dana Show. I know my friend Dana. I love her. She seeks truth every single day, and she's a realist. You know, from her perspective, she'll tell you, look, Donald Trump said this, but really, come on, man. Or whoever else said, Ron DeSantis said this. I know she's been, you know, talking a lot about Ron recently. But, oh, come on, Ron. She'll give it to you straight. Because I know my friend Dana. And you know where I see failure in leftist media, left and right. Let me see if I can find this little headline here. Media outlets, here it is, Challenger Grand Christmas. Media outlets slashed about 2,700 jobs in media in their newsrooms. That was the most since 2020. The pandemic saw an exodus in people in the news organizations that couldn't afford high salary reporters and anchors and producers, all these people. 2,700 jobs lost. And it was people like the Washington Post, who recently went through a little one-day sit-down strike. All these crazy leftist tree huggers have no idea how the world works, but they're still out writing all this nonsense, pablum, talking about green stuff and, you know, talking about Bidenomics and how Americans don't recognize that. Washington Post, 240 people cut. Vox. V-O-X, not Fox, V-O-X, cutting people as well. That's leftist media. If you give the market something that the market doesn't like to consume, the market will not support you, and hence you will be out of money. I mean, that's just realities. I do see growth in the so-called conservative media. You know, Fox is solid, strong. But you know what? On the internet channels, I see... what's the name? Newsmax, right? Newsmax is growing by leaps and bounds. It's like all of a sudden, what? They got a morning show? They got an afternoon show? They're picking up all these personalities? Well, good for them. Because from my perspective, just watching, because this is what I do for a living. I have to listen to MSNBC. I have to listen to the crazy Young Turks. I go see what they're up to. I check out every now and then, as much as I hate to do it, CNN, just to hear from their perspective how crazy they are, what they're talking about. And talk about them whining and complaining about losing audience, losing revenue. Well, it's because you guys suck at what you do, and you refuse to be introspective enough to take inventory, fact check yourself, and see where you are wrong. You never admit you're wrong. That's your problem. And at the same time, I see the market, all these eyeballs and ears gravitating toward people who will make an effort to be more honest about what's taking place. Expose what we know to be a swamp up in Washington, D.C. Newsmax, The First, this One America News Network, Breitbart, you name it, talk radio left and right. Now that Rush Limbaugh's with Jesus, it's like talk radio is fractured, but we got many different shows. Dana's number one, noontime, and congratulations for listening to The Dana Show. She's number one, 12 to 3, nationwide, and still growing. We're gaining a full head of steam here on The Dana Show. And all the other talkers, God bless all you. Keep seeking and reporting truth nationwide. Let me go pay some bills right now. Maybe I got time to share a cut from Jim Acosta when we come back. This is The Dana Show. I'm Sergio Sanchez, reporting to you from South Texas, the Dana Show Southern Command. You want to say hi online, maybe chime in on this topic. Sergio at KURV.com or at Sergio Talk on Twitter. From The Dana Show, Merry Christmas to everybody out there traveling. Go see Grandma.
Looking for a proactive solution in the battle against COVID-19? Well, ivermectin is now available at All Family Pharmacy, based in Boca Raton, Florida. With a growing interest in its potential benefits, ivermectin has emerged at the forefront for its antiviral properties. Supported by robust research and real-world experiences, it has gained new attention as a possible ally in managing the impact of the virus. For reliable information and access to quality products like ivermectin, visit allfamilypharma.com. /Dana and save 10% with promo code DANA10. Your health matters, so stay informed. Visit allfamilypharma.com/Dana. Navigate these challenging times with informed choices and proactive steps. All Family Pharmacy is U.S.-based and safe. Embrace the possibilities with ivermectin. Save 10% with code DANA10 when you place your order now at allfamilypharma.com/Dana. That's allfamilypharma.com/Dana, code DANA10. That's Dana and the number 10.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
They're working on making daylight savings time permanent over in the state of Ohio. Lawmakers working on that and might be passing it. And, so daylight savings is when we jump ahead, right, during the spring, right? So that means I can call folks in Ohio if they pass it. Say, hey, what's the news like an hour in the future, right? That's the way it works, right? Let's see, a couple of pieces of legislation. Gabby Petito Ag being filed in by Florida lawmakers. Petito murdered by her fiance back in 2021. Her parents are suing government officials in Utah because they didn't do enough to save her when they had a chance to see her when they pulled her and her boyfriend over. Yeah, let's see. Well, I'll tell you what, I'm going to share that audio I promised you from Jim Acosta and talk more about your money coming up on The Dana Show. I'm Sergio Sanchez. Merry Christmas.
As we get moving, our friends over at Wise Foods. Wise Food Storage, it's always good to be prepared, and you'd rather know where your next meal is coming from instead of not knowing. And that's where Wise Food Storage comes in. They have a buy one, get one free discount, 72-hour food kit, 120-serving breakfast bucket, all at wisefoodstorage.com. You just type Dana in the search bar, and they get you access to exclusive deals on their best-selling products, like the 72-hour food kit or the 120-serving breakfast bucket. All of the food is made with high-quality U.S. ingredients, freeze-dried, dehydrated, super easy to prepare. You just add water, and it all has a 25-year shelf life. Order yours today at wisefoodstorage.com. Type Dana in the search bar for exclusive deals like the buy one, get one free on select food kits. And visit wisefoodstorage.com, code Dana. That's how you do it. And then, again, use code Dana in the search bar.
Looking for the drive-through version of The Dana Show? Check out the best highlights from every show and Dana's Absurd Truth podcast, posted daily from The Dana Show.
The question I have, though, is inflation is cooling. I mean, if you look at gas prices, they're going down. They're around $3 a gallon in the Washington, D.C. area, Maryland, and Virginia. I suspect it fluctuates depending on where you are around the country, but generally coming down. People aren't feeling that enough just yet.
That's a bubble.
Jim Fake News Acosta from the Clueless News Network. Just baffled why his fellow Americans, they're all sour on Bidenomics. They, you know, how come you peasants can't be grateful that Joe Biden has slowed down? That he did say the rate of inflation. Slowed down the rate of inflation. And there were other people spinning yesterday saying, yeah, the price of food is down, price of fuel is down. Yeah, price of fuel is down because it had nothing to do with it. And Joe Biden, if it was up to him, he'd completely pull the plug in all the gas stations nationwide, all the refineries nationwide. And he completely sold out. He bent his knees on that lefty green agenda. Now, Jim Acosta can't figure out why Americans are so sour on the Biden economy right now. I'll tell you why. First, this is The Dana Show. Merry Christmas from all the gang here at The Dana Show. I'm Sergio Sanchez, and I hitched my wagon to The Dana Show. Well, this is the Dana Show Southern Command from the Rio Grande Valley at Texas. You want to say hi online, it's at Sergio Talk on the Twitter thing. And I can still call it Twitter because Elon Musk is my neighbor. He comes down here in Brownsville, SpaceX, all the time. You know why Jim Acosta can't understand why people are not praising, singing the praises, and Joe Biden's not running on whole Bidenomics crap? Yes, well, Jim, at last I checked, I think the number was as of this past summer, that dude's making like $700,000 a year. And I think he, unless he lives up in D.C., and that's where he does a show, which D.C.'s kind of expensive. But if he lives in Hotlanta, you know, Clueless News Network HQ, oh, man, he lives in the South. Boy, that dude's, he's just raking it in hand over fist. I scrolled down a little bit. The Mighty Wolf Blitzer. Again, there was never a GOP story, George W. Bush story, he could spin in a negative direction against the Republicans. Wolf, $5 million a year. Jake the Snake Tapper, $4 million a year. Coop, $12 million. So Jim's, and he's climbing the ladder, $700,000. He doesn't understand because he can absorb the cost. Regular, by the millions upon millions of just regular folks, hardworking Americans, folks that are getting by paycheck to paycheck. It's scary. Like, what was that headline a few days back? You guys paying attention to the news? Like, over half of Americans that are making six-figure salaries, $100,000 plus, over half paycheck to paycheck. What does that say of folks that are making less than six figures? Because everything costs more. You know, was like $700 a month compared to 2 years ago? $700 a month more that families are paying. That's like over $8,000. It's $8,400 every single year. Now that's a stupid tax. And the stupid one was Joe Biden, who didn't know what to do with the supply chain, what to do with the money supply. Just exacerbated, just made everything worse, surrounded by a bunch of numbskulls. Groceries now 20% more than back then, just 24 months back. Gas over 20% more. Everything from purchasing new vehicles, 20% more. Used vehicles, 10% more. Boy, there was a big spike in used vehicles there for a while. The repairs to these vehicles, in case you have a used vehicle, that's about 20% more. Energy, electricity, 25-30% more. Furniture, hotels, airfare, everything double digits north. And those numbers are not going down. That's why Jim Acosta, that's why the left doesn't get it. Oh, and again, don't rely on these mental midgets to give you a complete picture of the truth. And as I said right before we went to pay some bills, these fools, they scratch their head. They can't figure out why they're losing viewership, why they're losing revenue, why all these eyeballs, all these ears going. They're seeking truth. They're seeking more information. They might check in like I do, check in, see how crazy you are, but they're seeking information. Oh, and don't say anything related to Donald Trump, because, you know, if Donald Trump gets elected again, it's the end of America. It's the end of the world. What was that cut? It was 13, that montage, all these fools, all these idiots talking about Donald Trump. Go ahead, Steve.
What would a second Donald Trump term look like?
Well, he cannot be the next president, because if he is...
Why? You can't imagine the things that he's going to do. Mexico, Canada, we can't go to Canada because eventually Canada will become annexed to America.
And shoot visitors to the White House.
Yeah, that means he can shoot the First Lady.
We're going to see violence the likes of which we didn't even see on January 6th.
Make it illegal to run against him, to throw his opponents in jail, to shut down the media.
He will make himself into the Fuhrer, and he will make everybody raise their hand and salute him.
Using martial law against the American people.
Terminate the Constitution.
I get it, Steve. I get it. Like Nikki Haley said, these people are exhausting. I'm just glad that he lives rent-free in their head. And when he becomes president again, he will show them, not in vengeance, he will show them how things should be run, should be done. America first. Let's talk more about your money right now. Let me share with you a conversation, a little fun conversation, with a CPA friend of mine, Bill Dendy. You know that song, 12 Days of Christmas? It's going to cost you $107,000 if you want to buy all that stuff, the partridge and a pear tree, the gold rings and all that stuff. Looking at some of the numbers, CPA, Bill Dendy, there were some categories in the list of 12 items. There were some that had no price changes to them. 4 calling birds, 7 swans a-swimming, 8 maids a-milking, 9 ladies dancing, 5 golden rings. Like, price of gold is where I wanted to start with you, Bill. With all the inflationary pressures, the government that has, you know, sent out T-bills all over the place to fund this, that, and the other, questions about the value of the dollar. How is it possible, Bill, that the price of gold has not changed over the past 12 months?
Well, I think it's interesting that you've got your forever investors and believers in gold that say it's just a matter of time. We're on a course that's going to lead to the whole world looking for safety. And when they look for safety, even if there's not the industrial need for the metal, just because gold has always been that reserve and that place that people trust, we will see gold increase. But I guess things haven't gotten scary enough, or we haven't gone crazy enough with our fiscal policy to drive up gold prices. But the price of golden rings has not increased year over year. And, you know, again, there's a numismatic value of a coin and the bullion value. So maybe the golden rings, the amount of gold actually in these golden rings is not enough to move the price, according to PNC Bank's analyst, as they did their 12 Days of Christmas annual survey to see where the prices have been. But gold has been a frustration for a lot of investors because it hasn't moved up as much as many people thought it should be moving based upon economic and global conditions.
What were to happen if the price of gold, which, by the way, just sidebar mention, and it's been a while since I've taken a look at this. The easy access metal for me was silver and silver coins and collectible silver coins. And I'd buy a few every now and then for my boys just to put them away somewhere for them to, you know, either resell or enjoy in the future. But that price went up significantly starting about a year ago. So it seems like there's been an adjustment in other precious metals, whereas in gold it kind of stayed put. Why is that?
And that we'll have people arguing for a long time. And we did see a small increase. I mean, 2023, we maybe had a $100 move in the price of gold, and it moved around $200 up or down. I mean, it's maybe 5 or 6% increase, but 2022 to 2023, not much of a change in the price of gold.
Yeah, but silver did definitely skyrocket.
Uses, yeah, silver's easier to. And other industrial metals have skyrocketed.
Yeah,
you know, it's interesting. It's not just the precious metals anymore people are trading. It's not the platinum, silver, and gold. It's also copper, aluminum, lithium. Oh, my gosh, that's been literally on fire. So, yeah, that's a different investment world.
Yeah.
But the golden rings did not increase. Price of gold hasn't moved all that much compared to what we've seen in the rest of the markets. And it's got a lot of traditional gold bug analysts scratching their heads saying, well, have we reached a new paradigm where gold doesn't have the inherent store of value or the go-to metal when people get scared about everything else?
Yes, sir. Yeah, no, and it's obvious, you know, on the industrial side, why lithium and other precious metals and minerals, why the price of that has gone up, all the battery production and the fact that, you know, cobalt, all these things that we need. Hopefully, the fact that electric vehicle demand is waning and has, you know, fallen through the floor, and you got a lot of dealers out there that are now sitting with EVs that need to move, and hopefully production will slow down. I know the government under this administration will continue to push to get more electric vehicles, more battery production, incentivize all this, but the market is not budging. I don't. Maybe it's because they don't feel safe with all the EV stuff, and hopefully hopefully the demand for all these precious minerals will wane. Maybe come back more to normalcy. My guest is Bill Dendy, CPA, my friend from North Texas. Okay, let's get back to Christmas. I called you for the PNC Bank 40th Annual Christmas Price Index, based on the 12 Days of Christmas, which, honestly, I don't know who would want this stuff. Like, all these different things on the list. I know it's a Christmas carol. It's fun to look at the price because I suppose you look at it to gauge inflation. And what was the figure like from 22 to the end of 23? What was the inflation rate on the 12 Days of Christmas, all these items in that song?
If you bought each gift just one time, one partridge and one pear tree, two of the turtle doves and three of the French hens, the total cost this year increased by $1,200 up to $46,730. Now, if you did it like the song says, where you get a partridge and a pear tree every verse, so you actually have 12 partridges and 12 pear trees, and you get the turtle doves, you know, 11 times, and you get French hens 7, 6, 5, etc.
That's a lot of roasted chicken,
well,
yeah.
You know, by the time you do all that, well, we're up to $201,973. And I think it's amazing that somebody at PNC, maybe a whole department, takes the time to do the calculations on these types of goodies to see really what is a Lord of Leaping going for these days.
Yeah, you guys are overstaffed over at PNC. If you're able to set aside some number crunches to start running those numbers, you guys need to be lending some money, get some capital out there. I would imagine this year, Bill, the inflation rate, just like the standard inflation rate, was much smaller compared to the 2021 to the end of 2022 number. Did you get a chance to see that number?
You're exactly right. This year, it's only up 2.7%. So if you bought all these gifts, we're up almost 3%. And that's a much better result than the previous year when things were up 10.5%. And that's just a true reflection of what we were seeing in everything we were purchasing. We had high inflation last year and the year before.
Yeah.
This year, inflation's not gone, but it's a tamer sounding 3%. 2.7% is what
the rate of increase. Yeah, the inflation's still here. It's sticky. It's 25% compared to 36 months ago. But unless somehow we see those numbers reverse and we have deflation, which brings a whole set of other problems, yeah, we're stuck with this. We're hoping to get back to, 2-3% annual inflation. Well, Merry Christmas, Bill. I appreciate your time. As always, big hug to you and the family, and continued success in 2024, Bill.
God bless you, and thank you so much, and the same to you.
Tax Pro Money Manager, CPA, Bill Dend.
We got lots of immigration stuff to talk. I've got a stack of stuff here. I'm going to try to go through it much faster, and definitely next hour of the program. Don't miss it. I got one of the heads of the Border Patrol Union, the National Union. You've heard him before here on the program, and he comments on the new Texas law, the anti-illegal immigration law. There's a new law in Texas. It hasn't kicked in yet. I think March is when it's supposed to kick in. But I get comments from the Border Patrol Union on what they think of it, because they're desperate at the Border Patrol to do something. Brandon Judd coming up next hour of the Dana Show. Merry Christmas to one and all. Producer Steve, he does an awesome job condensing all the audio, 3 hours of the show, to about an hour and 45 minutes. Catch the Dana Show podcast online, all the different platforms, and stay informed. I'm Sergio Sanchez. You're listening to the Dana Show from her Southern Command in the RGV of Texas.
Yeah, she's exactly. Our friends over at Nimi Skincare. This is a great, great, great Christmas gift. They have different kinds of bundles that you can get. And like the winter bundle, you can get gift cards. They have all kinds of gifting options. I have to be very particular with my skin because I go on camera every day, as you know. I go on, whether it's, cable news, whether it's streaming, whether it's, my DirecTV simulcast, I'm always on TV, so I cannot have a bad skin day. And I also have to be very, very careful with what I use on my skin. And Nimi Skincare, I first started hearing about them when all of these other skincare companies were using men to sell skincare products to women. And ladies, this goes beyond the cosplay. As a woman, your skin is different. Your skin is different in every decade of your life. You need different things at different times of your life. And apparently none of those companies understood that. They wanted to sell you ideology. So Nimi Skincare was developed and created to offer women the kind of skincare that they need, that actually fills their needs and deals with taking care of their skin. So for instance, they have their Hydrate and Protect Ultimate routine. It includes Nimi Skincare's most popular anti-aging products. It cleanses, it moisturizes, it protects your skin. It's really moisturizing, especially if you deal with dry winter skin. And they only use the best ingredients. They don't use any of the parabens, none of the bad stuff that actually is super bad for your skin. And they don't test on animals, which is very important to me. Made right here in the US of A, and all of their skincare products are 100% guaranteed. Now, they want to save you even more money. Use code Dana and you'll get 10% off of your purchase. That's at Nimi Skincare. You don't have to compromise your values to have great skin. Go to NimiSkincare.com, N-I-M-I Skincare.com. Use promo code Dana, get 10% off. Your skin will thank you.
Follow Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts, because knowledge is your ultimate superpower.
From South Texas, the Dana Show, Southern Command. I'm Sergio Sanchez in for my friend Dana Lash today, and then it's going to be Navidad. Time is going to be time for Christmas for me for a few days. Lord willing, everything's okay. I'll probably be back with you on the 27th, right before the New Year's, for about 2-3 days. But thank you, Dana. Love you. You and Chris and all the gang, producer Steve, my brother Sugarcane, love you guys. Thank you so much for the call. Hey, stick around because I've got some great conversations coming up on the Dana Show
I told you, in Texas, we got a new law. And law enforcement in the state of Texas, governor signed it. Now, it doesn't, it's not supposed to kick in until next March, but in Texas, we will soon, law enforcement will be allowed to arrest, prosecute, incarcerate illegal immigrants. That's, of course, if the lunatic leftists don't get in the way and start hauling the governor to court, and you know they are. So there's going to be a legal fight. Brandon Judd from Border Patrol joining us next hour of the program. And I called up a friend from Fox National on the morning crew, Carly Shimkus. You've probably seen her. She's got a new book, so in a stocking stuffer idea, it's a great one, great recipes, from the morning crew over at Fox and Friends. It's like, what is it called? It's Cooking with Friends, of course. Cooking with Friends and Carly Shimkus, my conversation with her, that's coming up next hour of The Dana Show. Merry Christmas. You guys be safe out there driving around, taking care of business, and we'll give you more of the day's news coming up, including some really sad news related to Celine Dion. I'm going to share that with you next hour of The Dana Show from South Texas. I'm Sergio Sanchez.
Much of what we see happening around us today results from decades of failure in American education. Americans are increasingly divided over what policies are best for our country. And so that's why I'd like to invite you to make a year-end gift to Hillsdale College and their mission to preserve the blessings of civil and religious liberty through a proper education. Hillsdale College is leading an American revival. Over 3.5 million citizens have enrolled in one or more of Hillsdale's free online courses. Thousands of young Americans are enrolled in over 90 Hillsdale-affiliated K-12 schools, and 6.4 million Americans receive Imprimis 10 times a year. Hillsdale does all of this while refusing to accept one penny of taxpayer funding. Hillsdale's independence means that they rely on the support of citizens like you who understand the importance of education and liberty. You can make your tax-deductible year-end gift at DanaForHillsdale.com. That's DanaForHillsdale.com. On behalf of our friends at Hillsdale College, have a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
No, this is not constitutional. Easy answer there. This is day one of constitutional law. Issues like immigration, foreign policy, foreign affairs are specifically and only reserved to the federal government. Makes sense. Imagine if every state could have different immigration policy, enforce it differently. It would be wild. And it's important to understand the legal question here is not, is this a good policy or bad policy, smart, unwise? It's who gets to make it. It's not the states. Texas has to know that. It will get struck down in the federal courts.
My God, that issue is referred to in the Constitution, and we, and in Texas, because I'm broadcasting this portion of the Dana Show, I'm Sergio Sanchez, and from my friend Dana Lash. Merry Christmas, by the way. No, back to serious thing. That is addressed in the Constitution. We have a right to defend the state against invasion, and we have been invaded to the tune of, by now, millions of individuals crossing into the state of Texas, and, well, mental midgets up in New York, leadership up in Illinois, Washington, D.C., California, you name it, all these deep blue states that do not recognize the invasion. They whine and complain about their resources, housing resources, education resources, you know, education, medical, food, all that stuff is being taken out by the flood of illegal immigrants who go there because they prefer to go there and were given a free ride in Texas to go to New York and Illinois, Chicago, L.A., all those places. They will take it because they see an opportunity for a better life. What we have is millions upon millions of economic migrants. And sadly, they're coming into this country, and many millions will stay because I know, and again, I love Donald Trump. I believe he will be president again. But, man, that's a tall order, Mr. President. Anybody working for him, tuning in? But keep promising, keep saying it, though, because that's the objective, is to put in place a policy in our country where if you entered illegally, you're gaming the asylum system. I don't know, maybe put a strata of immigration-related hearings via video, by a cell phone, whatever. Get a quick hearing, boom. You entered illegally, you've got your hearing, it's time to go. It's time for you to leave. Otherwise, if you don't leave and we catch you, we're going to stick you in jail, or you'll never be allowed to come into the country again. Or I think the initial offense is like 10 years. You know what? In the state of Texas, what they're putting into place to address this illegal immigration problem that has been exacerbated by Joe Biden. The state of Texas says if you enter Texas illegally, you cross the border illegally, it is now a state crime. And the penalties will be anywhere from 180 days in a misdemeanor first go around. Or you are a serial repeat offender. You just keep crossing the border. You do not recognize that border. You keep breaking the law. Now, Texas law, you keep breaking our border. You keep invading this country, crossing all over and over. We could stick you in jail for 20 years. Texas didn't have to go very far to create this law. All Texas needed to do was copy-paste the federal law that is not being enforced. Ain't that crazy? You know, when Donald Trump was in charge, and we had that flood of illegal immigrants pre-pandemic. Let's look at the pre-pandemic time. Well, oh, the separation of children, the separation of families. Ha, ha, ha. You know, the whining and crying and gnashing at teeth. Donald Trump is inhumane. He's separating families. Friend, if you're stupid enough, let's look at other crime. If you're stupid enough to get pulled over drunk driving and you got your kid in the car, you think your kid's going to jail with you? I sure hope not. No. They'll be calling a family member. They'll be calling CPS. They're going to pick up that kid. You, let's say you got your kid with you. And, well, now shoplifting is not enforced that much. You know what I'm saying? But let's say you're going to get caught and you cross the threshold, which I don't know. What the heck is a threshold in these crazy lunatic leftist squish spineless prosecutor cities and states? What is it now? Like, what, $5,000? $10,000? That you can steal without being prosecuted? I think it's like close to $1,000, like $900 or $1,000 worth of stuff. Well, let's say you cross that threshold and you stole $1,001. Now you can be prosecuted. You're going to be among the few individuals that actually get sent to jail, get booked into jail. Your kid who you took with you to pick up some stuff, and they also broke the law because you gave them stuff to steal. You think your kid's coming with you? No. They're going to separate you. Separate you from your children. Yeah, because you're a criminal. Well, alleged criminal. Yeah, let's do the technicality. State of Texas only had to copy-paste the federal law that's not being enforced. Ain't that crazy? Oh, at issue is, you know, the supremacy of the federal government over state government. So if that's the case, why the hell do we have a state government? For you guys, you lunatics on the left, why do we continue to pretend that we are 50 states in this United States if the federal government is supreme on all issues? It should be supreme on, you know, final word when it comes to abortion. I mean, have the final say when it comes to immigration issues. You name it, all these unconstitutional federal department and agencies, and we're so far removed from original intent. So for some of you guys on the left, it's the iron-fisted central decision-making power of the federal government and nothing else. Unless, of course, it somehow it benefits your leftist cause. Why have a state government if the federal government, it's not doing its jobs? I hope and pray that Ken Paxton and his crew and the governor of Texas, Greg Abbott. By the way, Greg, for you and Miss Ceci, Merry Christmas. Love you, friend. Been a long time since I've seen you. He used to be the Attorney General of Texas, Greg Abbott. He's a lawyer. He can go with Ken Paxton and say, hey, and I hope this makes it all the way to the high court, and I hope the high court takes this case. He can say, the Texas law is the federal law. We got to put it in place because we're being invaded. Look at the note in the Constitution that y'all are supposed to, of course, look at. We're being invaded. We took your federal law, copy-pasted it into Texas law, and we're doing the job that the federal government is not doing. At the very, very least, you know, justices, Supreme Court justices, could you please help us address the fact that the executive branch has failed, is not doing its job in enforcing law that's already in the books. We need the executive branch to do its job. If you want to take this away from, if you want to claim supremacy over everything that we're trying to do in Texas, number one, we're being invaded. Number two, force the executive branch to do its job. And yes, when it comes to repeat offenders, like Donald Trump did. You know, if some individual got caught crossing the border illegally, and this was like the second, third, fourth, fifth time on record that, you know, their fingerprints came up that they crossed the border illegally, of course they're going to wind up in jail and be separated from their children. If they cross the border with drugs, packets of drugs on them, or some type of criminal record, maybe they had a warrant for their arrest, you know, up in the Midwest somewhere for rape or something like that, of course they're going to be separated from their children, just like any other alleged crime that people are, you know, accused of. Drunk driving, shoplifting, you name it, assault, you name it, attempted murder, they will be separated from their children. I'm looking forward to this fight. I'm glad the governor and lawmakers in Texas finally put this up for, obviously, for judicial review, because the crazy lefties who want the border wide open, they got their own agenda. I say it's an America-hating, self-hating, liberty-hating, it's America-hating point of view. They want the destruction of this country. They want this country taken down. They want the wealth of this nation redistributed, not knowing, just like all the communist morons, all socialist idiots. You can't eat the golden goose. We are the golden goose. We're the one laying the egg. We're the largest economy of the planet. We're the job creator. We're the wealth creator. We, and we should not be exclusive. I know the Chi-Coms are copying our model, and it kind of scares me because they're advocating for centralized decision-making and communism under a capitalism model, but that's a different story. Thank you, President Nixon, for showing them how to do it, stay in power, keep their iron fist, and keep their people enslaved and other slaves, Uyghurs, and using slave labor. Thank you, Nixon, for giving capitalism to the Chi-Coms. We need market activity. We need liberty. We need freedom in the Americas. Around the world, the market works. The market is the ultimate expression of an individual using his, her talents and strengths to provide for himself, herself, and bring the rest of society up. Man, the problem on the border is bad right now. I got a couple of cuts here. Thank you, Steve, for all these news cuts. Yeah, on the railways, that's another issue. And by the way, I have a conversation with Brandon Judd from the Border Patrol, National Union Border Patrol, and comments from him on some of these railways being shut down, that commerce is being negatively affected in Arizona, other places, West Texas as well. It's cut one, Steve, on some of these railway bridges. The tsunami of humanity so bad using railway, they're having to shut down. Go ahead, Steve.
Come railway on. Bridge has been shut down in the Eagle Pass, also in El Paso. CBP doing that to redeploy personnel to help Border Patrol with migrant processing, and Union Pacific is not happy about that decision.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's raw materials, fuels, product. It's negatively affecting market activity, and they have to, because... And you'll hear from Brandon Judd from the Border Patrol Union. They're riding along in these rail cars, jumping off, crossing the border illegally and looking for the rail cars again to just work their way back into the country. Not everybody's being checked at the border. Border Patrol, you know, things are so bad right now. One of the general statistics I used to ask about from Border Patrol, because, and I thank God for the union. I normally don't say that about unions. You've heard me say that before. I normally don't say, thank you, Lord, for a union, but the Border Patrol Union my almost 30 years of talk radio, news radio broadcasting here on the border, they have always been an open book and telling you how they see it, how it is. Unafraid. I wish we had other law enforcement federal unions that were equally as unafraid to say it how it is, no matter who's in charge. Because the American people need to know the truth. But anyway, back to Border Patrol. This is the worst that they've seen it ever. And they don't even bother. Well, I can't say to 100% surety, but in my conversation with Brandon Judd, you know, stash houses, illegal immigrant, the coyotes, the smugglers, they used to put folks in houses, 20, 30, 40, 50 people at a time in one house, all kind of almost all stacked on top of each other, waiting for the next 18-wheeler to take them north to Houston and then eventually up to, I don't know, Tennessee, New York, wherever it is that they're heading, Massachusetts. And they would stack these people because every head represents a certain amount of money. these individuals paying money to come into the country. That's billions upon billions of dollars that right now the cartels are making in human trafficking and human sex trafficking as well. They don't even bother looking for stash houses anymore. They are so busy at Border Patrol processing people. The Border Patrol has been perverted, diluted by the Biden White House, by Alex Mayorkas doing the absolutely minimum possible when it comes to border law enforcement. They're the welcome wagon. They get processed to do paperwork and come into this country, and, you know, in theory, they're now standing in line at the immigration court for a hearing for asylum. It's cut two, Steve, with Bill Malugin. God bless Bill Malugin on Fox News, doing a great job. Go ahead, Steve.
We have it, and the numbers just keep getting worse. Those 12,600 encounters you mentioned, that is the highest single-day total ever recorded, beating the previous record just a couple of weeks ago. And Eagle Pass is just getting completely overrun.
Yeah, and that's why they shut down the rail line. It's bad. It's never been this bad. It's getting worse. We got almost more than a year, because this clown... And, yeah, I know I sound disrespectful. He's the president, Joe Biden. But quite frankly, he has done everything to rid himself of any respect. And now nothing to regain any respect, admiration from the American people. He is an embarrassment to the office of president of the United States. It's America last always with this guy, always, especially when it comes to border issues. So stick around for my conversation with Brandon Jund from the Border Patrol Union Office, the National Union Office. I'm Sergio Sanchez. You're listening to The Dana Show from her Southern Command in the RGV of Texas. Merry Christmas.
Our friends over at Patriot Mobile, it's the only Christian conservative cell phone service in the country. They want to save you money. They also want to make sure that your money is not working to advance the things that you vote against every single time you go and you cast your vote. And with Patriot Mobile right now, they have some really great deals. They have their promotion ongoing, a free smartphone with code Friday76. Make the switch today. And you have coverage with Patriot Mobile, nationwide coverage in all three major networks. So you get the best service in your area, but you're not funding the left. And when you switch, you're sending a message that you support free speech and all of the things that, again, we vote for. So keep your phone or your number or upgrade. The choice is yours. And work with a member of their 100% U.S.-based customer service team, so you're helping to create and maintain U.S.-based jobs. Visit PatriotMobile.com/Dana or call 972-PATRIOT. Use promo code Friday76 to get a free smartphone. Make the switch today. PatriotMobile.com/Dana. 972 Patriot, code Friday76.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
Some sad news from Celine Dion's family. Her sister says that the singer Celine Dion no longer has control of her muscles. Celine revealed about a year ago that she had been diagnosed with some syndrome, Mersch-Waltman syndrome, stiff person syndrome, and the hope and pray that maybe she can make it back on stage someday. Apple in the news, stopping sale of their Series 9 Ultra 2 watch. There's a patent fight related to the device's blood oxygen monitor. They will stop selling it December 21st. Don't try to get some extra of these and put it on eBay, because you know Apple's going to get rid of the software. Let's see. Media marketing giant, COX Media Group. Yeah, I know it's Cox, but I can't say those words, put those two words together. Cox Media claiming it has the capability to listen to you, to ambient conversations of you, your family, through embedded microphones in all their smartphones. Oh, how nice. I'm Sergio Sanchez from South Texas. This is The Dana Show.
Ready to grow your intellectual Rolodex? Download the Dana Show podcast and join the ranks of those who refuse to settle for the same old boring content on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Did he exhibit any unusual behavior while he was working in the office?
That would not be the right one.
You know him very well, or?
I would have to ask. These are personnel issues, and I would not be the right person. I'm not going to get into a personnel issue.
Yeah, that's pretty easy, right? Pretty convenient. That's the voice of Democrat Senator LGBTQXYZABCLMNOP. Democrat champion, Democrat Party Senator Ben Cardin on, yeah, I know you saw it, and I'm sorry to bring this up. I just have to address this because I find the stance by Democrat Senator Ben Cardin and colleagues, and no one running to the defense of one of his staffers, all the hypocrisy that is always evident by Washington. Hi, friend. I'm Sergio Sanchez. You're listening to The Dana Show, broadcasting from her Southern Command in South Texas. Stick around. Just moments away, I'm going to share with you a conversation with the Border Patrol Union on the new Texas law and the Biden border mess that we have. But let's go back to this hypocrisy being expressed up in D.C. Democrat Senator Ben Cardin saying that he's not the right person to comment on the pornography produced by a now former staffer, gay staffer. If you didn't see it, don't. It's kind of hard to get that out of your head, kind of erase that. This kid, 24-year-old kid, a staffer for Democrat Senator Ben Cardin, LGBTQ, XYZ, 123 champion. This staffer, he had gay sex in a Senate staffing room, and that video, maybe this kid or his friend, they released it to the world to see because they're so proud of who they sleep with, how they sleep with, what they do, how they have sex. I don't care. That's your life. Do that. The thing is, see the hypocrisy here is, I mean, let's face it, from JFK to LBJ to all the great men of power through the years up in Washington, D.C. I mean, we know senators and congressmen have an inappropriate, many times extramarital dalliance with staffers. And the staffers get busy with each other. I mean, it's like, I don't know, there's something in the water up there. All these people up in Washington, they're humping on each other like, you know, horny chihuahuas all the time. But where are the Democrats? Where's the LGBTQ XYZ lobby defending this staffer? Because it's embarrassing to them. That's why. Because the gay sex video in a Senate staffing room, these two guys doing to each other what normally these politicians do to the country from those very political rooms, they are embarrassed because it's out there. Oh, and we got an election year coming around the corner. Oh, we got to stand up and do something because we want our constituency that is more in line, perhaps, with traditional values and might be shocked by this. Where are these hypocrites? Where is the defense of this young man? Because after all, look, if we had to put up and have to try to erase all, then imagine the mental images that were conjured when a certain president of the United States was using a cigar with an intern and getting a, you know, from an intern. And she had a stained dress. And what is, you know what that stain is? Hey, you had to think, and I'm sorry to reintroduce, they had to rethink how did that stain get on her blue dress? It's part of national history. And it's just one little example of how senators and congresspeople and heads of agencies and all these different departments, these powerful men, they have all these encounters, a dalliance with a staffer. And just because there's no video of it doesn't mean it didn't happen. And they're just hypocrites. They're throwing this kid under the bus. That's all I have to say about this. The way they should, because, see, they defend this behavior. They defend this way of life. They should be standing up for and defending him, defending this young man. That's who they are. These politicians, these Democrats, these advocates, they should be proud of who they are, as proud as these folks who live these lifestyles. They're proud. They march all the time, half naked or fully naked, to show you who they sleep with, what, how they do it. It's their choice. Let them live. Let them be free. I don't have to attend the parade. Don't bring it to my kid. But all these Democrats, hypocrites, all of you, not defending this kid, because you should be, at this of all times, you should be standing up for this kid and telling the world who you are. All right, I'm Sergio Sanchez. This is The Dana Show from South Texas. Yeah, South Texas is like the border of Texas. Yeah, we got a flood of illegal immigrants crossing the border. They're headed to you, Chicago. They're headed to you, New York. They're headed to you, Washington, D.C., Philadelphia, L.A. They're headed to you, Boston. Chowder. They're headed your way. Get ready. You're going to have to house them and feed them and send them to school. Here's my conversation with Brandon Judd from Border Patrol on a new Texas law. Judd with the National Border Patrol Union. I want to get your thoughts, Brandon, on this day that we hear Texas, we got a new law, state law enforcement. If they want to, I guess they can arrest illegals, take them into custody. They might even face jail time for entering Texas illegally. Just want to get your quick thoughts on the move by the government of Texas to try to do something about illegal immigration.
Now, what we've seen in the past is, as long as there's a consequence for violating our laws, people stop coming. The consequence has to be enough to be a deterrent. And if you're going to charge somebody with a felony for crossing into the United States illegally, then that's probably going to be a deterrent. If you look at federal law right now, if somebody crosses the border into the United States, 8 U.S.C. 1325, well, it's a misdemeanor offense. And so, there's just not a whole lot of deterrent there. And then, of course, once we start releasing them into the United States under catch and release, there is zero deterrent. And so what the state is proposing is to charge individuals for entering onto state land in violation of state law. It's going to be a felony. And I absolutely believe that once the implementation of that law goes into place, as long as it is enforced properly, which I have every reason to believe that it will be enforced properly, it will be a huge deterrent. You're going to see numbers drop exponentially in the state of Texas. But what that is ultimately going to do is it's just going to move the cartels are just going to move the traffic to New Mexico, Arizona, California. So we're not going to see an overall drop, but the state of Texas will be protected. And that's what Governor Abbott's job is. It's to protect the state of Texas, and he's doing a great job on that.
If, and that's a big if, it's ever allowed to be put in place, because I think next March is when everything's supposed to kick in here, but all the legal challenges already lining up. They're going to be fighting this mightily in the court, might even send it to the Supreme Court by early next year if they decided, and that's another if, they decide to take it up there. But you place that barrier, that legal barrier or wall in Texas, you're just kind of moving the flood elsewhere. Things that are pretty bad right now in Arizona make things even worse, because those are like the top areas for illegal crossing right now. What, Arizona, New Mexico, are they the top in the nation at the moment?
So New Mexico is pretty slow right now. And the reason why that's slow is you have to look at the infrastructure that exists on the north side of the border. It's very remote. There's not a whole lot of roads that go north. And so it's very easy to detect and apprehend people in the state of New Mexico. Arizona, however, is completely different. The monster is reappearing. In Arizona, we were ground zero in the late 1990s and through 2010, and then it switched over to the Rio Grande Valley. But now it's going back to Arizona, and we're seeing numbers that are just astronomical right now. And so, yeah, the cartels are very adept at what they do. But what I will tell you, Sergio, is if it explodes in Arizona, you're gonna see governor. It doesn't matter whether you got a Democrat governor, a Republican governor. It's gonna force their hand, and it's already forced Governor Hobbs's hand. She's sending the National Guard down to the Arizona border now, because people just get very, very sick and tired of the rule of law being violated when they see the sheer numbers that are happening. So it's gonna force her hand as well.
Sure, and she can make a lot of noise about this, and we can watch with some degree of admiration. Hey, look at that. There's a Democrat who's complaining to Washington, but she just needs to get in line behind Eric Adams and the administration of Chicago, Washington, D.C., the city, Philadelphia, you name it, up northeast, all these people seeing illegal immigrants, the flood coming into their cities, those sanctuary cities, having to now pay for their virtual signaling. Brandon Judd is with the National Border Patrol Union. I want to get your thoughts on something else based on some comments from local law enforcement, observations from folks in industry down here. When Governor Greg Abbott did a complete shutdown for, quote-unquote, inspection of Mexican trucks, you may remember that thing took place about a year or so ago, and boy, it caused an uproar because agriculture shipments were late, some of the fruit or veggies rotted. Is a complete shutdown of commercial traffic coming into this country. Okay. At the same time, the cartels, after several days of this complete shutdown for inspection of Mexican trucks, there was violence on the Mexican side. It's like the cartels got antsy. There was some violence. There were some pushback firefights just immediately south of my border. Some folks would point to say, hey, look, the real contraband, as far as humans being hidden, sex slaves being hidden in trucks, and all the fentanyl, all the crap is in the commercial vehicles crossing the international bridges. What do you say to that?
Yeah, so if we want Mexico to be true border security partners, the only time I've ever seen it in my 26-year career of being with the National Border Patrol Council, the only time we've ever seen Mexico become true border security partners is when they are affected economically. That's what President Trump did. He threatened tariffs that were greater than the amount of money that the cartels were going to bring in from human smuggling. So the Mexican government was willing to step to the plate. Now that commerce is being affected and you're looking at the bottom line, that Mexico is going to be willing to step to the plate and do what they need to do. The other thing that we're really, what we want to see is we want to see turmoil in the cartels. If you look right now, there's very little turnover at the top of the cartels because everybody's fat and happy. Everybody's making so much money, they don't need to have turnover. But once you start affecting commerce, once you start affecting the bottom line, that's when things start to happen. So it's a very shrewd move on his part to say, well, I'm going to start inspecting all of these train cars that are coming into the United States because that's going to slow down commerce and that's going to affect the bottom line.
You mentioned trains. That was going to be my next question. Some of these rail connections have been negatively affected and shut down. What can you tell me as far as the flow of illegal immigrants by rail over the past several weeks and now the shutdown of some of these connections to Mexico?
Yeah, what we see is they're not normally right when they cross the border, the trains do not have people in them. But what happens is the people will get off the trains right before they get to the border. They'll cross the border illegally, come into the United States a couple miles, and then they'll just hop right back on the train to further their entry into the United States. You have to be cognizant of what the trains are coming in, yet you have to be cognizant of where they're getting off, where they're getting back on. But you also have to be looking at the drug aspect as well. Smugglers are very adept at what they do. They know exactly what they need to do to get their products across, and so you have to be inspecting them with a fine-tooth comb. You have to disrupt the traffic. You have to disrupt their schedules. And when you can do that, you can affect their bottom line. You affect their bottom line. You have the turmoil and the turnover. When you have the turmoil and turnover, you see numbers drop.
Brandon Judd, National Border Patrol.
When we're dealing with numbers that are 10 times higher than what they should be, we just don't have the resources to go after the stash houses. We should be dealing with anywhere between 900 to 1,200 people crossing the border illegally on a daily basis. We're at 10,000 right now.
Wow.
When you look at the percentage of agents that are patrolling the border right now, there's times that we have less than 10% of our agents that are actively patrolling the border. And anytime that you do that, you cede control of our border, whether that's stash houses, whether that's drugs, whether it's criminal aliens, aliens from special interest countries like Afghanistan, Uzbekistan, countries that want to do us harm. That's when the cartels are successful in bringing those people or products across.
I don't see how Washington will provide any relief to this. Like, they say that the Senate's staying overtime into Christmas vacation time to talk about some type of border legislation. I laugh at it because I don't believe anything's going to pass. They want to clear something in the Senate because they want to clear money for Ukraine defense. That's why these Democrats are talking about it. So let's say they actually do pass something, though, and they convince enough in the House to do that, and Joe Biden signs it. What is it? If you had a magic wand, say, okay, do this, ding, what would they need to do, like, right now to stop this human tsunami at the southwest border down to a... what you explained was a more normal flow of about 1,000 illegals a day versus the 10,000 illegals a day.
So we've been there. We've seen exactly what needs to be done. What we have to have is proper policy. If we end catch and release, if we stop that reward, if we take that magnet away, people will stop coming. They're not going to give cartels thousands upon thousands of dollars to cross our borders illegally just to be sent back. So we've got to stop the catch and release. There, everybody, even if you cross our borders illegally, you have the right to claim asylum, but you do not have a right to be released. And that's what we've got to stop. We've got to stop the releases. If we stop that, numbers go down. We can then go after the cartels. We can keep American citizens safe. We can stop the drugs, and we can stop the deaths that are taking place in the United States.
On that hopeful, wishful list, I say Merry Christmas, my friend, and you be safe out there. Thank you.
Well, thank you much. Appreciate it.
Brandon Judd with National Border Patrol Union.
You want a replay of this and any all interviews and the shows for Dana, look for her, her podcast, all the different platforms. Up next, Florida man, a real threat against the Chief Justice of the High Court from a Florida man. That's next on The Dana Show.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida man.
Ooh, he is all right. Yeah, that's Neil Bridge Sedwani, 43 years old, Fernandina Beach, Florida. This guy called in a phone threat against the life of Chief Justice John Roberts late July. He has pled guilty to this charge. He's facing up to 5 years in prison. That's your Florida man. From South Texas, I'm Sergio Sanchez. This is The Dana Show.
I'm standing on the roof of my home right here in Braddock, Pennsylvania, right across the street from the Edgar Thompson plant. And I just have to say it's absolutely outrageous that they have sold themselves to a foreign nation and a company. Can't do that. Steel is always about security as well, too. And I am committed to doing anything I can do from using my platform or my position in order to block this. And I'm going to fight for the steel workers and their union way of life here as well, too. And we cannot ever allow them to be screwed over or left behind.
That is, wow. You know, that is, that's John Fetterman, senator from PA. John Fetterman. You know what? It's been a while since I've heard a cut from him. I knew that he was up there defending U.S. steel, defending U.S. steel jobs for America. The ownership, he doesn't like the fact that Nippon Steel from Japan is taking over U.S. That dude didn't stumble. There were no hiccups, nothing. It was a straight face, straight lace, down the middle, strike. That was like several complete sentences. Without falling over himself. Man, whatever he's taken, man, those synapses are reconnecting really nice after his stroke. He's sounding really good. Man, like a few days. By the way, welcome to Hour 3 of The Dana Show. I'm Sergio Sanchez, and for my friend Dana Lash, Merry Christmas to you and your family. Be careful out there. Play defense as you're out there on highways with 104 million Americans driving around town, driving across the nation to go see grandma, go see family. Yeah, Pennsylvania Democrat John Fetterman, a few days back, he said he's not a progressive. Yeah, we kind of get that with your defense, unapologetic defense of Israel, posting all the pictures of the hostages at your office. Freshman senator from Pennsylvania has drawn sharp criticism from leftist and so-called progressives. Ain't nothing progressive about all this leftist mentality. His allies in the Democrat Party on the left, because he is in support of Israel, calls on Democrats to get tough when it comes to immigration law. I don't know what's going on in John Fetterman's head. He has very questionable taste in wardrobe, but I tell you what, everything's reconnecting really nice. I'm really warming up. The John Fetterman 2.0. On this whole U.S. steel thing, yeah, this is just, you know, raw meat for his constituents in Pennsylvania. It's U.S. steel. It's, you know, Pittsburgh. It's a steel industry, the once mighty steel industry in Pennsylvania and in Pittsburgh. Yeah, U.S. steel being sold to a Japanese company, Nippon Steel. He's going to fight that. I know he's talking to his constituents, he's talking to his voters, all these jobs. They're afraid that, you know, I don't know. There's been no, from what I see, there's been no announcing of shutting things down or laying people off. It's just, you know, the very fact that a Japanese company now owns U.S. steel. It's like, it would be akin to, I don't know, Toyota. Who's the number one? The number one and two automakers in this country, what, GM? And if it's not GM, it's Toyota, right? As far as number of autos that they churn out, pump out, and they're able to sell. So what if, you know, GM someday were to find itself in a bad situation financially, and this whole too big to fail idea no longer works up in Washington, and how for all the many, many times, the plethora of times, oh yes, many the times that GM has been bailed out by taxpayers, by our kids, by our grandkids, and all this debt that's been thrown at them in order to keep allow them to keep paying, making payroll
and pay their bills over at GM because they're too big to fail. There's no such thing, too big to fail. You failed is because you screwed up in management because you were too soft on cutting back expenses, trimming back the fat, making sure that the unions don't cripple you, and by extension, the taxpayers in the end have to come and bail you out. What if in the future, at a time when we finally have a come-to-Jesus moment and realize, how many trillions of dollars are we in debt? I don't know, maybe it'll be when we hit 40 trillion, maybe 100 trillion. Okay, we're now paying... We're now servicing the debt, like one-third of American GDP is now servicing the debt. I think it's time for us to finally say no. There is no such thing as too big to fail. Banks, industry, manufacturing, you guys better manage your affairs. And I say at that time, maybe in the near future, GM runs into trouble because they overpromised to the unions, they overpaid this, they hyperextended themselves, and now they're coming back to Uncle Sam and sticking their hand out. Oh, please come and see us. You know, we're too big to fail. Bye-bye. Go find a buyer. And then here comes Toyota. Hello? We'd like to give you X amount per dollar per share. Can you imagine that? I can. If we're to survive into the next century, this is business. And in business, you're supposed to stay in the black. In business, you're supposed to meet the obligations of people who lent you money, investors or banks, and be able to pay your bills. If you don't, you failed, declare bankruptcy, have to sell all your assets and wait for somebody else to come and save you. That's business. That's the way things work in the real world. That's the way it works for American workers, American families. You have to stay in the black. If you can't stay in the black, you can't get any more credit cards to pay your bills. You got too much debt. You lose your home. You lose your assets. You have to press reset, go to bankruptcy court. And, yeah, good luck getting any opportunities to borrow money in the future. Small businesses, they face that all the time. Why should GM and any other big companies that are well-connected, why should they always receive bailouts? Yeah, because I know because they're paying. That's rhetorical. They're paying the campaign, funding the campaign for all these politicians who allow them to come and feed at the trough. But someday the note will be due. And yes, it will be embarrassing. If GM doesn't get its act together, if the big three automakers don't get their act together, if they don't restructure how they work with labor, where they manufacture their stuff, push back enough on a federal government, an onerous federal government under Democrat, just completely brainless, lack of common sense, Democrat administrations. There might be some Republicans in there as well, but right now it's just the Democrats pushing the auto industry to the brink of disaster, filling up lots full of EVs that less people want, and yet still forcing the industry to move toward technology that does not exist yet. They're driving towards a cliff, into a chasm at 60 miles per hour, saying, oh, pretty soon you'll find the solution. You'll find the parachute. Pretty soon we'll find the solution to the technology to make EVs affordable and practical. It doesn't exist yet. I do hope it does exist in the near future, but it doesn't exist right now. We might be in a situation where a Japanese automaker tells GM, we'll give you this much, and now we will be called, I don't know, Nissan GM or GM Nissan, GM Toyota, whatever. I know you have to swallow your pride, like U.S. Steel having to sell to Nippon Steel. Well, there's business. That's the way things are. I don't follow John Fetterman on this one. I know that he's just serving raw meat to his constituents, saying, I'm going to fight for, you know, U.S. Steel and make sure that this deal doesn't. I don't think there's anything you can do, John, to stop this. Oh, I'm sorry, Senator. I found some new respect for you since you're advocating for tougher immigration laws, trying to bring your idiots, fellow idiots, and or the idiots in your party. Because he doesn't sound like much like an idiot of late, John Fetterman. But I'm really impressed with his recovery. He's been able to put together some solid sentences and some solid line of thinking and common sense. More, you know, tougher border security, defense of Israel. You go, John. You go, Senator. You go. And see, I need to run through some of this news really quick. Oh, by the way, stick around. I got a conversation with my friend Carly Shimkus from Fox News, and she's got a stocking stuffer idea for you. Cooking with Friends from Fox. That's coming up a little later this hour. Let me see if I can clear some of this news of the day. Democrat Senator Joe Manchin, a couple days back, is saying that Our nation is at capacity, and it's becoming dangerous to let more people enter the country. Dun, dun, dun. That's a racist remark, Joe Manchin. It's dangerous that you're anti-immigrant, anti-illegal immigrant, Joe Manchin. See, nobody's calling him on the carpet for this. They say Donald Trump, the leftist, crazies, lunatics, say Donald Trump is a racist. He's talking about racial purity, that illegal immigration is poisoning the blood of America. It's poisoning the business model in America. That's for sure. And as a businessman, he knows what's going on. Millions and millions of people come in here going to seek cheap labor that requires a very low skill set. They're going to be desperate to provide for themselves. They ain't leaving unless Donald Trump shows up and by miracle finds out a way to put immigration, customs enforcement to work and start shoveling folks back to the country of origin and tell them to do it right, to file for amnesty correctly, to file for citizenship or green cards correctly, finally enforce border law. But Democrat Joe Manchin saying that our country is at capacity and is becoming more dangerous to let people in. He was making specific reference, Joe Manchin, to the fact that in our country we screen very few people that come across the border. Have you heard last hour of the program, you heard folks from Border Patrol saying they're facing record numbers daily, 10,000, 12,000 daily. And they're screening very few folks, very few people popping up on the radar as far as folks who enter the country numerous times, they have warrants for their arrest, have a criminal record. And the getaways, gotaways, like we tell you all the time, those getaways, gotaways who run away from Border Patrol, of the 3 million people that they're able to process, the 1.5 million, 2 million people that got away and avoided Border Patrol, yeah, there's criminal records in there. There's drugs in there. Those people, those are the people, the coyotes and the individuals that are trafficking sex slaves. Let's see what else is here. Yeah, I know they're talking up in D.C. about border security. You know, if it happens, I will be very surprised. So Lindsey Graham's out there saying he doesn't believe that there will be a border security, and let me say this, so-called border security deal until the first of next year. The Senate, they're still working in the U.S. Senate. They're talking behind closed doors, cleaning up the floor of whatever bodily fluids were left in there by some of the staffers and interns, gay or straight or whatever, whatever. They had sex in those little rooms. They're cleaning up the floors. When they go back in there, they've been meeting behind those closed doors talking about some border security deal that's going to appease enough Republicans for them to vote to send some money to Ukraine. Oof, that's a completely separate issue that's going to require a lot of debate. You know, the border security deal that they need to work on is to change the policy in this country and return and force individuals that want to seek asylum in this country to receive it at the first country that provides them asylum. It could be one of the Central American countries. It could be Mexico. Ain't nothing going to happen. U.S. House, if they approve something to free up, in essence, that's what they want to free up the Ukraine money. Well, maybe it might pass the House. And they put these two things together. Maybe Joe Biden will sign it. They need to change the asylum policies in this country. That's what's all screwed up. Actor Jonathan Majors, Kang, right? Kang the Conqueror on the Marvel series. He was found guilty of some of the charges against him at trial up in New York. Some of the charges, domestic violence charges. It kind of hurts. I don't watch too much TV or movies. I did follow the Marvel stuff. I do say I like this dude. His acting. I don't in any way wish to excuse or endorse his criminal behavior and domestic violence that he's been convicted of. Found guilty of some of the charges against him for domestic violence. And we were tossing this around in the newsroom earlier this morning. So we were talking about weekend movies and stuff to see this weekend. He's not a drug addict recovering and being forgiven by society. This domestic violence, him becoming physically violent against his ex-girlfriend. Man, I don't know how his career recovers from that. I think he's a great actor. I think he's an affable actor. You know, the Creed movies and the Marvel movies, Kang, the Conqueror, whatever he was. This dude, he's very affable. But just, I don't know how he recovers. So, seriously, it's domestic violence. He beat up a woman. Bad. The jury said, yes, he did. He's guilty. I personally, I don't see how he recovers from that. I'm Sergio Sanchez. This is the Dana Show from South Texas. You want to say hi online, it's at Sergio Talk on Twitter, on X, Sergio at KURV.com. From the Southern Command for the Dana Show from South Texas, this is the Dana Show.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
Actor Matthew Perry, cause of death was revealed by the L.A. County Medical Examiner's Office this week. And they say that he died, the friend star died from the acute effects of ketamine. It's used to treat depression, but he had some extracurricular ketamine in his system. That's what the medical office said. Thanks to millennials and Gen Z, about $122 of the Christmas budget, about 20% of the Christmas budget, will be used for Christmas gifts for Precious Pooch and the kitten. About 40% for clothes, 23% for spas for Pooch and for kitten. They're the ones that are humanizing pets, you know, putting them in like baby strollers, carriers, and that. Let's see. And if you're looking for a great Christmas gift and you can afford it, like $100K, the Charger, the Challenger, bye-bye. The Chevy Camaro, bye-bye. Get those gas-powered engines now and put them for resale online. From South Texas, this is The Dana Show.
Elevate your commute, workouts, or downtime with The Dana Show podcast. Unleash the power of knowledge at your fingertips by following Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's America's role in this? I mean, Egypt doesn't want to take him. Jordan doesn't want to take him. And what do you think about America?
Isn't that very telling that they don't want to take
them? Absolutely. So I'm assuming the position, therefore, is America should not take them either.
Absolutely not. They should go to Hamas-loving countries, Iraq, Qatar, Turkey. Those three countries, they can go to that. It is not Israel's problem. It's not America's problem. Yep. If those countries like Qatar and Turkey and Iran feel so deeply for the people of Gaza, they should take them.
Boom. That's Nikki Haley, who's moving in the polls, by the way. Have you seen those headlines? Nikki Haley moving in the polls. That's a whole separate issue. This is the Dana Show. Merry Christmas. I'm Sergio Sanchez in for my friend Dana Lash. Catch all her programs online. All these programs condensed into podcast versions. All the platforms. Stay informed of what's taking place in your world, in our world. Dana does an awesome job daily. Thank you to all our affiliates. Merry Christmas to all Dana Show affiliates. You guys, if you carry a portion, carry the whole show. Carry it live, 12 to 3, the number one afternoon show in the country is the Dana Show. For me, a huge honor to call her friend and sister. I say, you know how she says, brother from another mother? Some of y'all think that we're brother and sister. Well, that'd be nice if we were separated at birth. No, it's brother from another mother, but the same heavenly father. Merry Christmas for all again here at the Dana Show. You want to say hi online? It's Sergio at KURV.com, at Sergio Talk on Twitter. Which, by the way, speaking of Christmas, a little mention for the Salvation Army all across our great nation. Many times, the Salvation Army office is the one and only family shelter in many markets. And I'm proud to say that because I've been volunteering for about a decade now with a local Salvation Army office. I'm sold on them because like almost 90 cents on every dollar, it goes directly to the need. And that's like one of the highest. The ratio is one of the highest in the world. There are some very familiar charities and nonprofits out there, very familiar in the medical community, in you know, benevolence efforts. And only about 10, 20 cents on the dollar goes to the need. You'd be shocked. Go find it. There's people do reports on that on an annual basis, but the Salvation Army does almost 90 cents, like 87, 88 cents on the dollar goes to the need. So you got the Red Kettles in the community. Please volunteer if you can for the Red Kettles. Please donate a lot extra to the Salvation Army office in your market by giving to the Red Kettles. They're doing God's work every single day with the shelters, sometimes the only shelter. While I shake my head in sadness and disappointment, when I hear stories like that, there's a big mega church up, and I'm not even going to mention, but the Dallas area, big mega church. They had like drummer boys on like high wire strings and some big Jesus Christmas shows, just completely irrelevant to this. Can you imagine how much good would have been done? Just give the whatever, however many millions of dollars you did for that silly Christmas show, that big theater that you had at this North Texas Christmas spectacular. You're not Broadway, man. You got a mission. You got a calling. You got naked to clothe and hungry to feed and widows and orphans. The clock is ticking, man. The clock is ticking. Anyway, how much better would have been, you know, for to hear that finally, you know, like motivational speakers like in Houston, the Lakewood plays, all these big, there is enough in the coffers and the bank accounts of these mega churches, big churches, even the diocese, all across the nation, all the diocese office. I mean, how many millions, hundreds of millions of dollars have these dioceses, some of them have been sued to pay reparations for sex abuse of children, homosexual sex abuse of children through the years. There's enough there. May God forgive us. May God give us wisdom to properly use the talents he's given us to meet the need. That's the expectation from him. On the religious side, Catholic priests, according to the leftist, liberal, left-appeasing pope that you have right now, Catholic priests can now offer blessing of same-sex couples under certain conditions. Just don't make it look like you approve of same-sex marriage. It saddens me to see this headline, because for my Catholic friends and family, it just, for many of y'all in the pews, it just, this is nothing but seeding, sowing confusion. It is very sad. And instead of saying, hey, we love you, no matter what it is, you can come to Christ, you can come to Jesus, you can come to this altar. We love you. But no, you have to bless. Well, what are you blessing exactly? What exactly? Anyway, that's, I don't want to say too much on that. It's just, I want to keep it happy and positive. In fact, now that I say that, might as well do a stocking stuffer right now. Had a conversation with a friend that we met through Fox sometime back. Carly Shimkus, and if you're looking for a nice stocking stuffer book, and it's a cookbook, well, here's Carly.
Let's talk stocking stuffers right now. Good book is Cooking with Friends, and we welcome back an old friend. She's not old, but she's an old friend. Guess who's back? Carly's back. Carly Shimkus from Fox and Friends. How you doing, Carly?
Oh, my goodness. It is more than great to talk to you, Sergio. You know, I'm doing a bunch of radio stations today, calling in. And when I saw your name, before I got the list, I was looking at the email, and I said, ooh, when I open this email, I hope I see KURV. I hope I see it. And so this is my highlight. I'm so happy to talk to you. I miss you guys so much, but it's great to be chatting with you today.
A big hug from yours truly, from Freddie as well, from Tim.
Oh, hi, Tim.
We used to do regular segments with Carly about 7:30 our time. We would talk about stuff online and Twitter and Facebook, all that stuff. And she kept us for the longest time until they pulled her. And she's got bigger things to do now at the network. And boy, how things have changed. You got a bambino now. You got a little one. How old is your little baby?
He's 9 months old. He's almost 10 months. He is a little baby, but Sergio, he is a big boy. Man, do they grow fast.
We've seen the post. Has he learned how to grow hair yet? He was bald last time I saw.
He has learned how to grow hair, but he has a bit of a receding hairline.
Oh.
And I'm wondering when those little bald spots are gonna grow in, and it almost feels like I'm staring into his future as well.
Hey, does he have one at the back? I hope he has one at the back of his head, which means he's sleeping right. Nothing's growing up at the back of his head because he's sleeping okay.
Yeah, he's got a little spot back there too from rubbing, because he's a good sleeper, thankfully.
Man, how many hours of sleep you running on right now? You can't be getting much more than three, four hours a night.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Boy, when I was pregnant, that was my biggest concern. I prayed about it so hard because I give everything to my job, and I wanted to keep up that schedule. And it's a crazy schedule, you know, I'm working in the middle of the night but I also want to be the best mom possible. So, oh dear Lord, please help me to be able to do both. And thankfully it worked out, but you know, the sacrifice is a bit of sleep. I want to put him down at night, and I get up at 1 o'clock in the morning. So you don't get a whole lot, but on most days I can kind of squeeze a nap in. So that's my saving grace.
How's Peter doing, your husband? How's he taking the sleep schedule?
He's great. Yeah. My husband's a big Michigan football fan, so he is on cloud 11 right now because of the game. But it's great. It's one of the most fun things is watching him be a dad because he's kind of a big tough guy. So I don't even think he's ever seen a baby that he recognized before Brock was born, and now he's like all in.
Oh.
So yeah, the family dynamic has totally. I mean, he's our whole world. You know how it is. They become your whole world. So it's. Yeah, a lot has changed since the last
time. We're hoping it's
going to
be, Lord willing, such a beautiful, beautiful Christmas. First Christmas for the little one, you and Peter. Well, let's talk about your book, Cooking with Friends, which is a collection of recipes from the crew there at Fox, right? Fox and Friends?
Yeah, that's exactly right. It's Cooking with Friends is a segment that's run on Fox and Friends for years where people come on the show that you see on Fox News and they cook their favorite family meal. And so this book is a compilation of all those recipes. So there are a ton of people who've contributed. You know, Steve Ainslie, Brian, Janice, Todd, The Weeknd crew, Pete Hegseth, Rachel Campos Duffy, Joey Jones, a bunch of people, Brett Baer, Shannon Bream, Martha McCallum. And then I have some recipes of my own that I contributed as well. But it's great. The way that it turned out is I'm so proud of because, you know, it's half a recipe book, half pictures. There's great pictures in it. But then before each recipe is a little write-up of why the recipe is special to that person. So if you watch Fox News a lot, you kind of get to see people that you see every day in a different light. So it just would make a great gift for the person who watches Fox News in your life. It really turned out well, and I'm so proud of it.
Did you find it said something about their personalities? Did you discover something about their personalities as you looked at all these recipes they gave you?
Yeah, that's funny you say that. Yes, in several different ways. So, like, one of the recipes that I like the most, and I'm going to tell you the whole recipe right now because it's three ingredients. It's Janice Dean. We know Janice. She's great, so funny, so no-nonsense. She contributed grilled donuts, and one of the ingredients is donuts. You just buy a box of donuts, slap butter on them, put them on a grill. You're done. Serve with ice cream. It's delicious. And then Pete Hegseth in a different way with him. His is a Thanksgiving stuffing in pink Jell-O, which is so strange, but it's a family tradition of his. So it's a part of his personality that, you know, you don't see every day on TV, but you know how every family has like a weird, quirky tradition?
Yeah.
So there's kind of that in the book as well.
That's I'm surprised Hegseth would provide something like that. You know, knowing his military background, I figure he'd be like beef jerky or survival gear.
Oh my gosh, Sergio, like that, right? I said the same thing. He has two recipes. The other one is soup. It's a wild rice soup. I would have pegged him for a meat and potatoes, but you know, he's full of surprises, that Pete Hegseth.
I got to ask you before I let you go. Kill me. What did he give you? Brian, what did he give you for a recipe?
Oh my gosh, that's a great... So his recipe is artichoke pie. It's a recipe that his mom made, and we actually made it together on the show on Friday, the day after Thanksgiving.
I like artichoke.
And he was tasked with cooking it live on air, and he didn't know the recipe at all. He's like studying it 3 minutes before, and it went about as you think it would. He's spilling the peppercorns. He doesn't quite know how to do it, but we got through it together. It was a very funny TV moment.
Did it taste good, though? I mean, did you even try tasting it at the end?
Oh, yeah, but that's because we had a food stylist make the final one.
Oh, I see.
So she did a really good job.
Well, it's a great stocking stuffer from the family at Fox and Friends, recipes from all the crew and contributors. Cooking with Friends, and we send you a big hug, Carly. Good to talk to you again. Carly Shimkus. They got a good show, and Carly's part of a great team over at Fox. I'm Sergio Sanchez, in for my friend Dana Lash. This is The Dana Show. Steve, I got to ask you. Producer Steve, I got to ask you, bud. Now, you and I don't talk very often on the program, except for like the last thing. We got a segment here coming up in a second. Because I know you're a Philly boy. And we've had back and forth, you know, Phillies, Astros. We're on the NFL side. I know you're hurting right now, dude. The Eagles. They started 10-1, Steve. Why have they lost three in a row, in your opinion?
Something's up with Jalen. He's either hurt, can't see the field, something's up. They got rid of their defensive coordinator. I don't know. It seems like there's something in the building that's not getting out. That's what I know.
You still believe?
I still believe. I'm not gonna give up, but I'm still just trying to ride the wave. A few easy games coming up, so
All right. Well, they can kick this funk, get it out of the way. And because, you know, the Cowboys say they're going to the Super Bowl. They say that every year. Right. So I think they're going to be buying the Super Bowl tickets like in January. Make sure they get some good seats. I think that's what they're referring to. I wanted to mention to you, Steve, I'm still hurting because Tennessee put on the Oiler uniforms, and being a Houston boy, that I think that was low rent, low class by Tennessee. We might have some Tennessee affiliates. You know, that's just me. It's not Dana talking about it. Just me. I'm a Houston boy. But this whole Oiler thing, the oil derrick, the uniforms, the lovey blue. I know the Titans, they were embarrassed at the end. The Texans got the last laugh. They beat them and eliminated them from any playoff thoughts. But I don't know, man. I think that oil derrick and those uniforms, they belong in Houston. That's just my opinion. I mean, let's say like the Cowboys move to another market. They're not going to be like the New York Cowboys. The Yankees move to another market. They're not going to be like the Miami Yankees. They'd be changing the name. You got to keep the name where it comes from. Anyway, just my thoughts. Sergio at KURV.com and at Sergio Talk on Twitter. This is The Dana Show from South Texas. Merry Christmas.
Don't let FOMO get the best of you. Stay in the loop and ahead of the curve by following Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Merry Christmas. I'm Sergio Sanchez, or as we say around here in South Texas, with a little Spanish lingo, Feliz Navidad. Or my rancher friends would say, Feliz Navidad. Merry Christmas, The Dana Show. I'm Sergio Sanchez, and we're reporting to you from South Texas, still in blessed soil, still Texas. Here in South Texas, our affiliate KURV. Want to say hi online, do the Twitter, the X thing, at Sergio Talk. I want to mention a couple of things here real quick before I let you go. General Motors, owners of some GM vehicles, will soon have a direct line to track and speak with Santa, if that's what you're into, you and the kids. And they say it's going to be for a good cause. You want to participate with this opportunity to track and speak to Santa, get the kids involved while you're inside the vehicle. I don't know if all of it or a portion of what you pay for that service this Christmas goes to the American Red Cross. My parents did the Santa thing when I was growing up here in Reynosa, Mexico. When I was a little kid, they did that. I'll just be very respectful. Look, I'm not going to say much more about this. I'll just say that with my kids, Dilly and I, we went the baby Jesus route. You know, we went a different direction to talk about. And I know there's some of y'all in this audience, very pure, saying, well, Serge, Christmas is a pagan holiday, and it has nothing to do with God, nothing to do with Jesus. Look, it's his birth. You're a believer, you're Christian. It's his birth. This will be an opportunity to celebrate the fact that he is the perfect gift, the perfect redemption. Just accept the gift. All right, Steve, well, let's do the stupid news of the day. What you got?
All right, so there was an event last night in D.C. with the Mayor Bowser with a bunch of veterans and rabbis and religious people and had a few protesters, and this is how she tried to cut them off.
D.C. residents, join me. We are in a world certainly with difficult times. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine.
She sings so bad, she's gonna drown him out. Hey, that's it for the program today. Catch it online on the podcast.